Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers 23-20 loss in Arizona, but first I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, apparently, if you look at everything from this loss to the Cardinals, yes, it's a loss, and that's tough to swallow anytime in the NFL, especially when you've lost eight in a row, but I had a feeling that it was the best overall effort since week one for the 49ers. What'd you think?
I would completely agree. Defense played much, much better, especially against the run. Offense was pretty good. I think that if you looked at the stats column, they needed to run the ball better and possess it a little bit longer. You know, I think maybe they have to actually win it.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about both sides of the running game. I mean, first of all, the defense, because that was a big story coming into the game, the fact that the 49ers had allowed seven straight rushers to go over 100 yards, and this time they don't. And David Johnson's a good running back. He only had 55.
Yeah.
And Arizona only had 80 as a team. So what did you notice about the 49ers as far as plugging holes and maybe being better tacklers?
I thought that the guys up front did a much better job. Dial actually sticks out in my mind as, having been around the ball a lot.
Yeah, and DeForest Buckner, I guess, was too. I mean, he had some quarterback hits and recovered a fumble.
Yeah. I just thought that the front four, front three, depending on, you know, what situation they were in, I thought played much better. Linebackers, they must have played better. I didn't notice them as much, but they must have played better because, that, like we said, they stopped the run.
Yeah, and there wasn't that big run that's the killer. I mean, that's what it seems like.
Right.
Every game, some running back is just ripped off some big run. He had a huge hole, and we didn't see that.
No, we didn't, which was very nice to see. And they defensively didn't give up. We really didn't give up that big play, run or pass. I'm trying to remember if there was a big pass. I mean, there were a couple great catches by Larry Fitzgerald for some longer games, but no.
Yeah, no, you know, big
no,
touchdown.
No pass. 60 yeah. yard yeah touchdown.
Right. Oh, some of those catches were pretty amazing. I mean, it's got to be great as a quarterback when you have receivers laying out the way Fitzgerald did, the way Floyd did. I mean, they were making some spectacular catches. Both of those receivers had over 100 yards in the game.
Yeah. I mean, they have some good receivers, no question. Larry Fitzgerald is obviously at the top of that list as a, you know, I would think a future Hall of Famer. He's spectacular. Just watching him run routes, you know, use his body, his wingspan, you know, what do they call it now? His catching radius,
right?
Is probably second to none in the league right now. So it was nice to see, even though he's on the opposing team, fun to watch him and watch him make those great plays.
Yeah, and a couple of interceptions for the Niners, four turnovers for Arizona. I mean, that's a game usually you should win when you take the ball away four times.
I agree. You know, I looking at the stats yesterday, pretty even game. I think the only thing that may have stood out was, you know, not as many first downs. So I think the only, pretty much the only category that that the Cardinals were you know, a handful of first downs ahead and maybe five to seven minutes of possession time, which is explainable by the first down. So everything else was pretty equal, and then you get, you know, you're a plus two on the turnovers, I think. I think we fumbled once and threw an interception, or no?
No, no interception.
So we're plus three.
Yeah. I think it was plus three.
Plus three in the turnover ratio. Yeah, well, I mean, that's a game that hopefully you win. Comes down to the last play. They played well, and comes down to a kick at the end, and Catanzaro makes it.
Well, yeah, and it's always tough, you know, like Chip Kelly said, you don't have moral victories in the NFL, although we're looking at it as a positive, right?
I sure did. I mean, yeah, we're, you know, eight losses in a row, but I would say that it was a step in the right direction. Defense played well, offense played well, special teams were good. So definitely a step in the right direction.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for Tee Time Deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Jeremy Curley has got to be one of the MVPs of the team so far, what he's doing on special teams and what he's doing as a receiver. I mean, he was picked up just before the season. I mean, out of nowhere, sort of. It didn't look like he was on their radar. He had seven catches, 71 yards. He's not a big guy like you talked about. He can get beaten up. It's hard for him to be the primary receiver, I guess. But at the same time, I mean, he's just contributing so much. He had that really good punt return in addition to his receiving ability.
Yeah, he's. I would say he's definitely the go-to guy right now, and you know plays extremely hard. I mean, he's obviously not afraid of contact. He's, you know, he's making catches and getting pummeled and making, like you said, making runs on the punt returns. He's pretty good. It's too bad. Yeah, he doesn't have a Larry Fitzgerald size.
Yeah, and you need that. I mean, you need, like, the go-to receiver, which I still don't think Kaepernick has. You know, he's kind of spreading the ball around a little bit to these guys.
And,
I mean, some guys are getting better. Like, Vance McDonald definitely has improved. He's catching the ball better. He seems to have a big play every week.
Yeah. He needs to get the ball a few more times, though, a game. I mean, he's getting two or three catches, and there were – looking at the stats, there were about five or six, maybe seven guys that had two plus catches, which is good to see. Like to your point, that Cap is distributing the ball to a number of different guys, but I'd like to see Vance McDonald have, you know, four, five, six catches a game, because he runs well with the ball after he catches it.
Yeah, and less drops. I mean, well, the thing about the team overall, though, it always seems like there's a couple of guys who just drop the ball.
Drops.
Smith dropped one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He's got to make that catch. I remember exactly which one you're talking about. Yeah, they just need to become a little bit more efficient on offense. I think if there was a critique, would be more on the play calling. They went to that little bootleg, kind of counter bootleg action. They ran it early in the game. Then they ran it three or four more times. Didn't work the first time, and I kind of jumped out at me like, why are you running that again? And they ran it two or three more times, and I don't remember it honestly getting – I don't remember them getting much out of it. A few – ill-conceived plays that I thought hurt them in a few situations.
That's what I wanted to ask you, is just the way that they're using Kaepernick these days. I mean, he definitely seems more comfortable in the offense. He's throwing the ball better. They did make a good play call on that touchdown that tied the game when he ran for it. And he did have 55 yards rushing. But what do you like and what do you not like about the way that they're calling plays for Kaepernick?
Well, I think even though the point it was made about the bootleg was, you know, somewhat of a critique, but I do understand why they're going to it. It's to get Cap out of the pocket, which they seem right to be trying to do more, which we've talked about. He's much better out of the pocket, where he only has to look at a couple guys and kind of read it as a high-low. And so I think overall that's a good thing. I was critiquing more the play in general, that it didn't get much, but I do like that they're trying to get him out of the pocket, because he's just more comfortable out there.
Yeah, well, there were several plays where I thought the Cardinals just read it. I mean, they just knew exactly what the Niners were doing. I mean, they tried something with Patton one time, and he was just dead to rights. And the running game, they can't get the running game going at all.
No, the running game needs to get going. There's one play that stands out to me. It was like third and two, and they tried to run like a little sweep where basically Cap in the shotgun, and he pitched it out to his right to Hyde, but it was a slow developing play, and with that defense that pursues well, it was dead before it started.
Yeah.
But yeah, the running game, if you watched the Monday night game last night.
I watched some of it, yeah.
Okay, the Giants obviously struggling with the running game. They line up in the same formation the whole game. They have one back in the backfield, you know, a tight end. But John Gruden said, it's hard to run the ball in the NFL without a fullback.
It is, yeah. It's old school, I guess, but you have to do it.
It is, but you need a lead back, and you're watching the Giants. His point was, you have six guys, tight end, five linemen that can block, but most of the time there are seven guys close enough to the box, so you're always short, and it was darn true that there was always an unblocked guy. The Giants' running game was, they made the one first down there at the end that they needed to on a long run, a 20-something yard run. But overall, they weren't very good. And I find it the same as the Niners. You have six guys, sometimes five, and you're trying to run the ball in between the tackles. It's near impossible.
I know. I almost feel sorry for Carlos Hyde. I mean, he's just coming back from the shoulder. He had nowhere to go. There were no holes.
No. And that's a good defense. I think they said at the start of the game they were ranked first in rushing defense. I'm pretty sure that's what I forget who was doing the color, but or the
Rondé Barber
play-by-play.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
Rondé
Barber. Chris Myers. Yeah.
Chris Myers. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said in the beginning of the game that they were number one in run defense. So. That's going to make for a long day. But they need to get better at it, because that goes back to, if you have a better running game, you make more first downs, and you possess the ball a little longer.
Yeah, so they can't get the running game going, that's for sure. By the way, speaking of Rondé Barber, since he's a former defensive back, it seems like he's trying to defend these DBs, because it's very difficult to play defensive back these days. In fact, we had Eric Reed on the podcast last night at the Brixton in San Francisco, and we were talking about flags flying all the time because the NFL wants offense. And how different is it from when you were playing, Steve, as far as the way it's officiated? I mean, these pass interference calls are happening a lot, it seems like.
I think it's pretty much the same. I can't recall, what they would deem pass interference or, holding. But I think we just see it more because there's more passes that are thrown during a game.
Right.
There's a lot of times five receivers on the field instead of two or three. So I think we see it more just because the game is so wide open. And even going back to Gruden and Myers, or Gruden and Sean McDonough last night, they had Tom Coughlin on in an interview, and they were talking about Coughlin working in the league office, in the control room, and Coughlin made the comment that they're trying to teach him what pass interference is, and Gruden made the comment to him, when you figure it out, please let me know, because I don't know.
it does seem undefined. I mean, you look at the way the Patriots-Seahawks game ended, and it didn't end in New England's favor because Gronkowski didn't make the catch and didn't get the call, and I thought it was a good no call. I mean, they were kind of battling against each other, and then they didn't call a flag.
I heard them commenting about, somewhere during the day yesterday, I heard some comments, but I honestly did not see the play. Actually, it might have been Kevin the Rat on KCBS that was talking about it. But, you know, in a situation like that, end of the game, I mean, unless it's just a blatant raping of a guy, you kind of got to let it go.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think that the main thing for the defensive backs is that if you could turn your head back towards the ball, you're going to have less chance of it being called. And if you don't, it's going to get called.
If you're not playing the ball and you stick your hand in that guy's face or you touch that guy, it's pass interference. And I kind of get that because, you know, let's play the ball. It's up there. It's a free ball. Although, back to your point about Rondé defending the DBs, he made a couple of comments during the Niners game about how the DB, you know, watching the eyes of the receiver, watching his hands, and then after his hands are on the ball, shooting his arm up through the hands to knock it out. And he had a couple good, there were a couple good situations where he commented on it, and they were nice defensive plays. Now, there are the DBs not looking for the ball, but, you know, not necessarily touching the receiver until the ball was in his hands. So it's a fine line. I mean, not easy for the officials to call it. I think, when it's a all-out, undressing or, a guy grabbing or a guy coming over the back, I mean, you have to call it. When they're hand fighting for the ball and they're running downfield side by side, that's a tough one to call.
It is, and, you're putting it in the hands of the official, but also as a quarterback, you're putting it into the hands of a receiver to make a play. I mean, that's something I wanted to ask you about, too, because 49ers definitely need some better receivers. I think it's hard for a quarterback like Kaepernick or whoever the quarterback is to just throw it up there the way, Roethlisberger trusts receivers. I always go back to Dan Marino when he had Duper and Clayton. He would just throw balls, and he knew they were going to make a play. And no question, I don't want to take anything away from Marino. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But at the same time, he had great receivers that were helping him.
Absolutely. I mean, knew that he could put it out there, especially on some go routes. You got one of those guys one-on-one, take shot. I mean, your guy's going to win probably, 52% of the time, as opposed to 48% of the time or whatever it is. But your guy's going to win. And actually, that kind of goes back to my point last week of, throwing that ball to make the receiver make the DB be wrong, no matter what how he's playing him.
Yeah, yeah. You were saying the confidence.
He could be running, shoulder for shoulder with a receiver, and if you can drive that ball to the back of his head, and your receiver can make that adjustment and make that play, that's make that DB be wrong every time.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night with Eric Reed. He said there's nothing you can do when a quarterback makes that perfect back shoulder throw. Yeah, the ball's there, and there's nothing you can do. Speaking of that, let's talk about the Patriots and Tom Brady, who many times frustrates defenses.
Good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and he's coming into Levi's Stadium, first time that he's going to play the 49ers here, you know, grew up in San Mateo. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, because he was injured in 08 when they played the Niners. So,
oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, okay. So there's that incentive. There's a fact that the 49ers are not playing well, which gives him a better shot at winning, of course, but also the fact that the Patriots lost last week. He's got to be angry about that, too.
Yeah. Obviously his record speaks for itself. He's pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to look forward to watching him play. I haven't seen him play live too many times, I was going to say if at all, but now I'm sure I've seen him play live a couple times maybe. But I'm looking forward to it. I don't envy the defensive coaching staff or the defensive players because, as you said, he's coming in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after last week, and I think he's had a chip on his shoulder ever since his suspension ended. It's not going to be easy. Like playing against Drew Brees again.
Yeah. Yeah, a pocket passer who has a lot of weapons, and it doesn't even seem to matter who they are. I mean, it seems like every year they come up with some different guys, but especially he's potent with Gronkowski and Bennett now, yeah. Two tight ends.
Yeah, but that's also the mark of a great quarterback. He can make an average receiver look good.
Yeah,
he can make a good receiver look great. He's a special one, that's for sure, he'll be slinging it all over the place.
He will. I mean, plus he's got Julian Edelman, who just always finds openings. The slot receivers always seem to have success in New England.
Yeah, well, they move them around so much. They get them mismatched. They get them out ahead of the defensive back and, squirt them out in the flat or give him a little option route where he can make a move on a guy early, so they move them around well and put them in positions to win.
Yeah. I never did. I don't remember if I got your take on, here's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game. And of course, he had to serve the suspension and what your take was on the whole Deflategate, whether or not you thought that was even legitimate to be looking at.
We've probably talked about it, but my simple answer is that if he would have just said, my guys take care of me. People have been messing with the balls for, 100 years, and this is how I like them. And so my guys take care of me. Would have been done.
Right.
Nothing else would have happened.
Just be upfront about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is how I like them, and it is what it is. Guys have been, messing with them forever, and that's the way it goes. What a mess.
Yeah, what a mess.
I want to know how the guy let out the air out of 20 balls or whatever it is, 24 balls in a matter of a minute and a half or 2 minutes. It's just, this dude's good. We need to meet him.
Did it matter that much to you what the air was in the ball?
No, 12, 13 pounds to 12 pounds or whatever it was, 11 and a half. No one, if you gave two people a ball, one with 13 and one with 12, no one would be able to tell you. Probably not even most quarterbacks.
And all that just because of,
yeah,
his preference.
But, yeah, it was known around the league that he had been doing it.
Really?
I know some people that said that they knew that he had been messing with them.
Oh, and then it just came to the
forefront.
Like
I said, everybody messes with them.
A little bit.
guys break them in, during the week certain ways, and, we used to do all kinds of crap to them. the other thing was that I thought that 10, 15 years ago, the officials were the last ones to see him anyway and check the pressure. Because, our equipment guy would come to us and say, hey, we're done using these for the week. We're going to clean them up and fix the air. And then, you'd kind of get a hold of them, for a little bit just to say, okay, yeah, these feel good. The air is good, whatever. Never really never asked if it was 13 pounds. You know, right. Just like, hey, that feels good.
Well, they let every baseball player use a different bat that's to his specification. Why not let quarterbacks use footballs that are to their specification?
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I've heard of, like years ago, the guys in Minnesota told me that, when it was super cold out in the old Metropolitan Stadium.
Yeah.
That they would let some of the air out of the balls because otherwise it was too damn hard to hold when it was so dry and cold.
I bet it was. So hard to catch, too.
guys have been messing with balls since the game began.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing, because the next game on the schedule for the Niners is at Miami, a team that's won 4 in a row, and I actually had the pleasure of doing the Dolphins game in San Diego this past Sunday, and Phillip Rivers threw 4 interceptions in the fourth quarter. I wondered, I didn't go look at your stats, I wondered if that ever happened to you and what kind of a feeling that must be.
And
he's a great quarterback.
I wouldn't have made it that long. unfortunately, I threw 3 in a playoff game and was out, so...
but he did it in the fourth quarter.
Maybe that was a good thing. I didn't get to see the fourth. I didn't even see that. Wow.
I think a lot of it has to do with receivers not being on the same page. He's not just firing it, to the defense. It's you're just not connecting. Your receivers are going one way and you're throwing the other.
That's almost pretty hard to do, honestly. only because you probably only had 4 possessions in the fourth quarter.
I don't know. It started to be easier to do because I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick throw 6 picks in a game. So this year,
I would have been out of the game before that ever happened. So
it's got to be.
Usually, if there's 3, you're like, okay, he doesn't have it today. Let's try somebody else. Yeah, I mean, even if it's even if the guy's a future Hall of Famer, I mean, usually, like if he's struggling that bad, then you just chalk it up to he doesn't have it today. Let's move on to somebody else.
Right, and Cap had the 4 interception game last year in Arizona with pick sixes. Yeah, so that he exercised his demons.
They replayed them early in the game, and they were ugly.
They were.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, looking forward to this game on Sunday. By the way, you're going to be down in the field with some former 49ers. Tell us about the ceremony they're having.
I will be. There's there'll be quite a few guys there. They're presenting Mr. DeBartolo with his Hall of Fame ring at halftime, and it's alumni weekend, and so there'll be lots of former greats around. Should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right, Steve. Well, thanks a lot. See you at Levi's on Sunday and talk to you on Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the 49ers game with the Patriots. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.